Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to Curious Conversations with Tully and Sarah. We sit down and chat with business owners, entrepreneurs, and some of the best conversation starters. This is a podcast about real life lessons and people doing cool shit. What's up, Sarah? Welcome to another episode of Curious Conversations.
What is up, Tully Louise?
Nothing is up. We have a special episode this week that was supposed to go live a couple of weeks ago, but we had some technical difficulties.
Yep.
Had to take the week off. But we have your brother, Mark.
We do. And I love Mark. All my girlfriends love Mark.
No, Mark is such a legend. And we had Mark on because we've obviously spoken about this on the podcast. We are very open to the sober journey, sober world. It's becoming up in a lot of conversations, and your brother has just chosen, you know, not to pick up a drink for a little while, and we wanted to know a little bit more about it.
Yeah, I think his journey of sobriety and my little adventure and experience into the sober light life at the moment has been very different, but yeah, he's completely transformed his life, and he goes through the spiritual aspect, and I don't know, for me, it was really nice to have a conversation like that with my brother, and not that I didn't have respect for him, but I just looked at him in awe when we were having this discussion. Yeah. And I'm really proud of him.
I'm proud of him too. It's amazing that he just even looks healthier, happier. But I also loved how he spoke about, and we talk about this all the time on the podcast, each chapter. I'm obviously about to enter another chapter of my life. And when he was saying that, I was like smiling deep down inside because we talk about chapters all the time. And I think that was a really great way to describe this chapter of his life.
I think for me, I've been exposed to the spiritual world for quite a while growing up, like with you doing yoga. And so for him to be like, oh, I don't know what it was, like some kind of spiritual trip. But
yeah.
I won't explain it, but enjoy my brother. Everyone loves him. I love him.
We hope you love it. And maybe if it's inspired you to go sober, we'd love to hear about it as well. And again, Mark is not promoting not drinking. He's just telling his journey. And he'll say that often throughout the podcast.
He says that. He's like, I'm not pushing anyone not to drink. He's like, not at all.
Yeah. So we hope you love the episode. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share with all your friends.
Bye.
Bye.
But the reason I wanted to have you on, Mark, and because this is a conversation Tal and I have been having probably for about 6 months, talking more about sobriety and sober life. And it's a much more popular topic now. Like there's the movement of Californian sober, sober light, sober curious. And you're someone who has been sober for how long now?
I was actually trying to think how long it's been last night, and it's coming up to maybe a year.
Wow.
So, like, I didn't have a set, I'm not counting the dates.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There was no moment where I said, that's it, I need to stop. Mm. This is the day where I'm going to change myself. Like, I just stopped and went cold turkey all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And
why did you stop?
That's another thing I was asking myself last night. There was no, like I said, there was no Britney moment. There was no, there was nothing that brought it on where I thought, you know, shit, I better stop drinking or else this is going to start snowballing. I just kind of did it and started feeling good.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 1 week rolls into a second week and then that second week rolls into a third and you start getting addicted to that feeling of feeling good.
Yeah.
You know, so you're like, especially with the three young kids at home and everything like that, I can give more of myself to them. So I feel like I'm a better father, better husband, better friend.
Yeah,
you know?
And you work like hard hours too, like early morning hours and stuff.
Yeah,
so that takes a toll on your body as well if you're drinking alcohol and working and then being a dad being a friend.
It's funny you say that. I was doing some research on celebrities who are sober, and there are quite a few that are sober, but something you just said then about being a better father. Anne Hathaway said
2 years ago that she was going to be sober until her kid was 18 years old. Wow. And the interviewee asked why, and she goes, I went to one school drop-off. She's like, I wasn't driving, but I was hungover. And she's like, that was enough for me to realize. And she goes, I didn't like the feeling. I didn't like the feeling of being that drunk parent, hungover, dropping my kid to school. Mm. And she's like, I don't want to be that parent. Mm. My kid needs me and they don't need a half-absent parent being
kids
around.
Kids are full-on, which you'll find out quite soon, Tully.
Yes. Yeah. But one though, not three.
They do, like, you know, they need your 100% mm-hmm. attention. And I suppose not just that, but us being role models to our kids, like if they see us living a healthy lifestyle like we are, like, you know, hopefully that flows onto them. But like I keep saying to everyone, I'm not some sort of non-drinking advocate. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling everyone that you shouldn't drink. Yeah. Like, I don't give a shit really what other people do. Like, it's fine. It's up. It's your choice. Mm-hmm. It's up to you. But for me, like, it's been one of the best choices I've made.
It's crazy. And do you know that?
I was going to say, for people to take into reference how much of a big deal this is, like, Tal, you've known me for 10 years plus now, and you've known Mark. We come from like quite a big drinking culture. Like, Mark was a party boy. Like,
I think anyone in Australia is part of a big drinking culture. 100%. Yeah. And you being a male as well, we spoke about this, not the male and female thing, but like, I feel like for males as well, I feel like the pressure from friends or the judgment, is that a thing?
It's funny you say that, because my male friends are so curious about the topic of non-drinking. Mm. To the, like, so we don't avoid social situations now. We're still going out, you know, going out to friends' houses for, you know, parties and stuff like that. We're going to engagement parties, weddings and everything like that. And the topic always comes up, how are you going? Like, you know, how's the non-drinking going? And some people are saying, are you ever going to drink again? Like, I don't know. Like, you know, for now, no.
Are you never not saying never?
Well, you can never say never about anything, really. You know, who knows? But a lot of my friends who have been in the same situation as me, like to go out and party and all that kind of stuff, they're really curious about it. And they say to me, like, you know, oh, I could do it. I could give up drinking. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they're not judging me at all. They're more curious about why it's happening and, you know, the health benefits that flow on from that as well, which, you know, isn't a reason why I did it, but, you know.
Isn't that funny, because as a female, I assumed that guys would be funny about it, but I feel like after hearing that and knowing that Sarah's on a bit of a sober journey for the 75 days, Sarah's, you've received a little bit of, like, slack from females about why not drinking. And it's probably more than males. And that was me assuming.
Yeah.
Like,
well, yeah, that's the funny thing as well, because Ash, my wife, she's kind of doing this, like, we're doing it together. Yeah. We're not really doing anything. We're just not drinking. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not like
a,
it's not a challenge or anything like that. We're both just, that's just what we are right now. But she kind of felt pressure from her friends.
Isn't that funny?
You know, she felt more pressure in the social situations to have that drink, just to relax, to have those conversations.
Yeah.
But like I said to her, like I said to Ash, and like I say to my mates, I say, I'm still the same person.
Yeah.
Mm. I have the same conversations. I act the same way. You know, some people need that to loosen up, and, you know, that's understandable. Mm-hmm. They want to go dance. They need a couple of drinks to loosen up, whatever. For me, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. But,
you know, I'll go out and dance. Yeah. You know.
Do you think, you just reference how people need it for like a confidence boost. Now, do you realize at certain circumstances, whether it's a party, whether you're feeling grumpy, whether where you usually used to turn to alcohol?
Well, when you say stress, I think that's what you find the typical Aussie male does. They come home from a stressful day of work,
have a beer,
they have a couple of stubbies, you know, and that's their stress reliever and stuff like that. Like, I never had that feeling that, or not never, like I used to do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
But once you stop doing it, you start thinking, well, I didn't actually need it.
It was a habit thing.
It was a habit, like, you know, yeah.
That's how I feel now. Like, after stressful weeks, usually I'd have a glass of wine. And it's like, oh my God, why do I need a glass of wine to relax?
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe I used it as an excuse, but as Australians, I think we glamorize alcohol.
Yeah.
We use it to celebrate. We use it to commiserate. We use it to unwind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything is attached to alcohol in some way.
Yeah.
And what I just keep learning is and Tully were talking about this previously before, it's a neurotoxin. Mm-hmm. You were talking about the brain and your dad's been told not to drink as much for his brain mm-hmm. health. And it's the only drug that is glamorized.
Yeah.
I had a friend when I said to him, I was like, oh, yeah, I'll come to the pub. Forewarning, I'm not drinking at the moment. And he goes, oh my God, sis, go you. Like, congratulations. And I said, thank you for being such a supportive friend. I said, that's not the common feedback I've got when I've told girlfriends I'm not drinking.
Yeah. Mm.
And he goes, why would I encourage you to put poison in your body?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was listening to a podcast this morning before this and they were saying, and I was like, oh my God, it's so true. Literally, alcohol is a poison. Like, I think they said Jim Beam ended up using what they used to put in the alcohol as hand sanitizer because it kills germs. And I'm like, you're literally putting that into your body,
yeah,
which is poison.
Yeah.
So it does – there's so many side effects to drinking alcohol that I think people forget about.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
Well, you just got to think about, like, yourself being pregnant.
Yeah.
Like, I'm assuming you're not drinking.
No, no. Yeah.
So a lot of women – go through that whole stage of pregnancy not drinking
mm-hmm.
because they know that it could be harmful the baby. To their babies.
Exactly.
But then once they have the baby, the first thing they do is they start drinking.
Yeah.
Like they think, you know, it could be harmful for the baby, but they don't think about the harm that it could be doing to themselves.
Yeah.
You know, which I don't know. Crazy. Like you said, it's been instilled into us growing up, I suppose.
Yeah.
So. Do you feel any benefits health-wise apart from the mental clarity from not drinking?
Oh, you do. You feel plenty, like, and like I said, that's not the reason why I did this, but obviously you lose that, you know, extra little bit of around your belly and everything like that. You lose that little bit of pooch. Your mental clarity is massive. Like your head just becomes so much clearer.
Sleep?
You're a lot sharper. Sleep, yes. I've also stopped drinking coffee, mm-hmm. so I don't know if that's contributing to that as well. But definitely sleep, and it's just – like I said, it's the feeling of feeling good is addictive.
Yeah.
Addictive. So why would you not want to feel good?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So like it's, you know, you'd go to an event and say, I know I've got a school reunion coming up
mm-hmm.
and they've got open bar for a little while and rah, rah. You know, you might go to an event like that. Some people might need it to loosen up, to talk to a few people, whatever. But it's the next day, and especially when you're dealing with kids, with work, you've got things going on. If you're like hungover, or you've got that fogginess, you know, mm-hmm. it's hard to function.
I heard a really good quote the other week when someone was talking about alcohol and drinking. Exactly an example you were just talking about. They said, if you're going out on the Saturday night, you're going to pay for it in some aspect.
Absolutely.
So it's like how much of tomorrow do you want to borrow?
Yeah. I mean,
so
look,
you're not guaranteed time. So tomorrow, if you want to have a big night, are you going to waste 60% of your day staying uh-huh. at home? Or like how much of tomorrow do you want to borrow?
Yeah. I mean, that's so true. It's you think when I was – before I was pregnant, I was drinking. If I drank on a Saturday night – and I'm not a massive drinker at all. But if I drank on a Saturday night, I would be still feeling it by Monday, Tuesday. And I'm so not productive at work.
Yeah.
I find it hard to get up to go to the gym in the morning and I feel like I've fucked my whole week.
Yeah.
Imagine doing that every weekend.
Yeah. The amount of our friends that we're – they're not Apple Watches. They're those other – the Aura rings or something else. Yeah. And they said
– the sleep.
If you saw what data came back from mm-hmm. just having one drink, they're like, you wouldn't drink.
No, it's wild.
How much it affected their sleep, their recovery, brain. And even for the week after.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, the data shows us, so why would you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think your connections with your mates has deepened from not drinking?
Oh, definitely, with a few of them, for sure. Like I said, there's been – quite a few of them, which pull you over to the side because I don't know if they want to be seen having the conversation mm-hmm. in front of the others, but a lot of them are doing it without them knowing.
And the movement of sober, they're sober curious. Yeah. They want to know.
Yeah.
So they you know, they dive into the questions, why did you do it and how long are you going to keep doing it for? How do you feel? And then once the conversation starts flowing, like mm-hmm. these are all, you know, young dads as well and they've got young families and they've got businesses and, you know, everything like that going on as well. And when I tell them the benefits that I've got out of it, and I keep saying to them, I said, do what you want to do. I'm not here to tell you not to drink because it's your choice. Yeah. But after we have our conversation, they start thinking, you know what, like, you know, maybe I'll stop drinking during the week.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'll just drink on the weekends and not during the week when I get home. And then, you know, if they go that one weekend or that one function without having to drink, well, maybe they'll go the next one, you know. So it's a big flow-on effect.
Yeah.
A guy's naturally curious to say in that example, they're not going to drink during the week, but when they go to reach for a drink, they'll reflect back being like, why am I reaching for this drink right now? Is it because I've had a shit day at work? Is it because my wife's annoying me?
From the conversations I've had with a few of them, it was more like knocking off after work.
Like it's habit. Yeah.
It was a knock off after work kind of thing. Yeah. It was, you know.
Yeah.
They work hard during the day. They kind of reward themselves. They take the edge off a little bit and it kind of relaxes them.
Mm-hmm.
But once you substitute that with something else.
Go to the gym or something.
Every habit needs to be substituted with another habit.
Absolutely.
Or else you just got an empty void.
Yep.
So like you need to, if that's what you're doing, you need to fill it with something else.
Yeah.
So
it's like when we had, who was that trainer guy that we had on?
He
was
Jack
like,
Boone.
No, the other one that was in here from RBT.
Ben Kant.
Yeah, he was talking about habit and he's like, and that's exactly what drinking is. He was like, just say every Friday you drive home and you stop at McDonald's because it's what you do every Friday. Your brain, you just have to do it because if you don't do it, you like start to freak out.
Your neural pathways are trained
exactly.
That way.
Yeah. So it's exactly like drinking. If that's what you're going to do every day and you just have to replace it by going to the gym or doing something else.
He gave the example when he was bulking, he would always go to this one cafe and eat like 10 eggs, this thing. And he's like, so then when I wanted to shred, he goes, there was no benefit in going to that cafe because I'd trained my body to eat that type of food in that environment. And so he goes, I'd go to a cafe around the corner and I'd eat two eggs.
Just creating a new habit.
Yeah.
Pretty simple. Nothing changes unless something changes. You know, people want to live these different lives. They want to feel better. They want something, you know, they want something magical to happen to them themselves. But it won't happen unless something happens.
Yeah.
So
do you realize that not many men are like you?
I think you'd be surprised.
Do you think?
I think there are more which may be like me, but what am I like?
I think really self-reflective.
Yeah.
And you and your partner went to like a couples retreat to learn about yourself.
We did, And this is kind of where – so we went to Belinda Anderson's it was a couples retreat, but it wasn't a couples retreat. It was more like
– therapy.
It was a singles retreat but done in a couple.
Yep.
You know, so it was sort your shit out, everything gets sorted out. And so we met Belinda and her husband Darren and they were beautiful people. And Belinda's husband Darren had already started not drinking.
Oh, wow.
And so he's an ex-professional NRL player. He like you look at this guy, he's 50 years old and he's buff. Like he looks good. And but he's a manly man, like he's a chippy, you know, and the same sort of thing. And I spoke to him on the retreat and I said, you know, well, I've kind of stopped drinking myself and how do you feel going out in social situations? And he kind of said the same thing to me, like you don't avoid them.
Yeah.
You know, you have your conversations with your mates and you find which mates are supportive of you and you find which ones who aren't. And I'm just lucky that I'd say all of my mates
that's amazing.
You know,
yeah.
are supportive. None of them are saying, like, you know, you're a dickhead, you know, come have this beer. No one's peer forcing pressure. Anything upon me. But yeah, a big thing which Belinda and Darren said to us was we all go through chapters of life. And so, you know, you live your life going through school, there's one chapter of your life gone. And then you start growing up, you start going out. So you're 18 to 30, 35, whatever. And you go out and you have fun. And that's another chapter of your life. And so now it's like, you know, I'm still me and everything like that, but this is just another chapter of my life.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't regret anything that I've done in the past because everything that I've done in the past has led up to this.
Yeah.
You know, so if none of that had happened, then this wouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
So, you know.
It's crazy. Do you know what they say too? They say in 20 years' time, drinking will be like smoking. So people, you know, how everyone's like, ew, smoking gross at the moment. They think that in 20 years' time, people are going to be like, ew, drinking gross.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see the flow-on effect in the next like 10 to 20 years with like your nieces, your kids, like all that kind of stuff.
I was having that conversation with Mark the other night at dinner. We were talking about not drinking and my friend's reactions, Ashley's friend's reactions. And I said to Mark, I wonder what his kids' relationship with alcohol will be like. Seeing so at the moment him and Ash aren't drinking, but it's not like mum and dad are in bed for half a Sunday because they had a big night.
Yeah, and I don't think we can't expect them not to drink just because we're not drinking.
Yeah.
Like everyone's got to make their own choices, learn their own lessons in life, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But like we said, like we're not here to tell people not to drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, they can do what they want to do. It's as long as that they do it in a way which, you know, isn't silly.
Yeah. So. I think it came to a stage for me personally where I waking up on a Sunday morning feeling fresh and still being able to go for a walk or go for an exercise is that feeling of you get addicted 100%. To that feeling of feeling good.
Yeah, you jump out of bed.
Yeah. But also going back to Sarah, you being sober, before Sarah did the 75 days hard, whatever you want to call it, 75 hard or whatever, Sarah kept saying to me, I can't not drink.
Yeah.
You said it for like 2 weeks before.
Yeah.
I can't not drink. I just can't not. I'm like, Sarah, you can.
Yeah.
I'm like, you can not drink. It's fine. And then there was something that switched in you and you were like.
I kept making excuses.
Yeah, she said, I can't. I'm like, she can. It's literally only 75 days.
And quite similar to you, it was just one day that I was like, you know what? I'm going to start this weekend.
Yeah.
And Ash and I used to love going out for dinner. And we'd always get a bottle of wine for dinner.
Mm.
And we'd treat ourselves because we were going to share the bottle of wine. We'd get a good bottle of wine. So now we go out for dinner and dinner is so much cheaper.
Yeah, exactly. It's true.
So,
you know. There's so many benefits.
You know, stuff like that as well. And you can spend your money on other things in your life which really, like, do benefit you.
In saying that, like, having that bottle of wine previously, would it have opened up conversations? Because this is probably how I used to feel when I was drinking. You become more open with your feelings and the walls vulnerable. The walls are down so you can connect with friends and partners. And
but you can still do that without alcohol.
Yeah. I know, but I think a lot of people can't tap into that vulnerability without having
a mask. I think people use that as a kind of mattress to fall back on. Whereas if they say something that they
regret.
They're like,
they kind of regret. They'll say, oh, geez, you know, it was the alcohol talking or whatever.
It's funny. Like I said before, I've never been like a massive drinker and I'm the same. I can go out and say you've done a few times. I can go out, still dance, whatever, wake up in the morning fresh and then I've had some girlfriends be like, are you hungover? I'm like, no, I didn't drink. And they're like, wait, you didn't drink? That's you lasted such a long time. I'm like, I don't need alcohol to have fun.
Yeah.
Like you can still go out, have conversations, still dance. And I wake up fresh and I'm not hungover. And I've had a lot of friends, oh, I thought you were drunk. I'm like, no.
No, I'm just naturally like
this. Yeah, I was just like, I just had fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
We were out to dinner the other night and with a girlfriend who's getting married quite soon and Tal mentioned I wasn't drinking and her natural reaction was one of disappointment because she had expectations.
But she recognized it.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks you're more fun when you drink.
Yeah, but it's crazy to me.
You know, like maybe you do a few, you know, silly things. A bit more stupid shit while you are drunk.
Yeah.
But like I said, that's your safety blanket to fall back on. Oh, geez, you know, I was drunk.
I was pissed. We lose
all inhibitions. We go to dance yoga things and you look around and you're like, oh, I don't want to do all these wobbly things with my arms because I'm too scared of what people are thinking. But if you've had a couple of drinks, you don't give a shit. But it's like being able to do those things without the alcohol.
Mm-hmm. I think people got to realize that people think that people are focusing on them so much more than what they actually are.
Yeah, so true.
Like, you know, people's perspective of what people are thinking of them is completely not
true. That is so true because the podcast I was listening to this morning, the girl she's on a one-year sober thing and she's going to continue. She's like, I'm not really putting a time on it, but it's been 1 year. Wow, crazy. Similar to you. And she was saying at the start, I felt really uncomfortable being at social events, not hanging on to something because I was more worried about what other people thought. And then she's like, and then I kept doing it. And she's like, fuck. And then I realized no one cares what I'm drinking or what I'm holding.
Yeah.
Like, why am I so worried about what other people think?
Yeah.
And I think if people are like, sometimes when Sarah says she's not drinking, some of the girls are like, oh, just have one drink. Come on. I think it's got more to do with making them feel uncomfortable. Not
it is. It's a reflection back on them.
Really, yeah, it is. Yeah. It's just interesting how people react.
Going back to couples retreat, because I know there was quite a few people and our friends who were interested in the retreat that you and Ash did. What did you learn about yourself back then? Because we've had relationship experts on the podcast and exactly what you said before, once you focus on yourself, everything around you gets better.
Yeah. Well,
welcome back to Chemist Warehouse Picks of the Week.
It's Sarah's pick and I'm very excited to hear a little bit more about your pick this week.
Bloom and Blossom, tell Bloom and Blossom. And it's a beautiful company by two sisters-in-law. And why I love them is they're so passionate about your health and a good night's sleep and lowering the toxic load on your body.
Yeah. So essentially, if you live a chaotic life, which most of us live chaotic, stressful lives, they've created products to help that chaoticness kind of calm you down, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
So what product do you have?
So I've got the All Night Long Calming Spray, which comes with frankincense, roseflower water and linden blossom.
Yeah.
So what you do is you spray around your room and on your pillow, and that invigorates senses to calm you and to put you in a deeper sleep for longer.
Which
so you
we love.
A better night's rest. And this is also a body scrub, a body cleanser, you should say. Which again, no nasty products, and it removes all the dead cells.
It's got shea butter in it.
Exactly. So it leaves your skin hydrated. And I really just really like this brand.
Yeah. And do you know what I love about this too is before we finish up is the branding is super cute on this. Like I would definitely pick this up at the shops, and I think it is such a great product for you guys for calming the mind and making a relaxing environment for you and your family. So you can get this from Chemist Warehouse. Good pick, Sarah.
Thank you.
Good.
Where do we go? Like, it was quite a spiritual journey for us, actually. Well, for
were
me
you
in
spiritual
particular.
Before?
I think I had it within me, but not. It got really opened up at the retreat. You know,
what do you mean by spiritual? Can I?
Well, just my inner self. Like, we did, so we did sound healing with the guys from Sound Healing Australia.
Yeah.
And like I explained to everyone, I don't know what happened in that session, but I was laying down and it was like I was on this trip.
Yeah, like, it's like the vibration through your body.
It was unbelievable. Yeah. Like, and I came out of it and I said to the guys, I said, you know, were you guys shining lasers in the room and blah, blah, blah? Mm. He goes, no. He goes, what were you seeing? I said, oh, mate, I was seeing this blue and then I was seeing purple and then I was – and he goes, oh, it's like you're tripping on mushrooms. Yeah. I said, it's exactly like I was tripping on mushrooms, you know?
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, it's really tapped into you.
Oh, wow.
And I can't explain – from how I was feeling before then to how you're feeling after then, it's like a feeling of lightness. Like you just, everything feels like it's just, all the shit's just gone up and gone out of you. So that's definitely, you know, from the retreat, I took that and that's helped me in my day-to-day life, just coming back to the present moment every time. Mm-hmm. Like I used to always live in the future in my head. So my thoughts used to race and I used to get a bit of anxiety and, you know, that used to come out. You know, I'd get psoriasis on my body because, you know, your body feels what your emotions are. Yeah, that's how it comes out. It shows. And so, you know, now I can really slow myself down and come to the present moment and I don't live that life in the future anymore because that life I was living in the future, all those future projections would never even eventuate.
No, they're silly.
You know, so.
Yeah. Do you believe in manifestation?
Funny. I'm looking into manifestation.
Yeah.
I think manifestation, yeah, I do because that's another thing that I've learned about, you know, the whole world being full of vibrations and we are energy and everything is vibrating.
Yeah.
And like, you know, everything you listen about manifestations, they bring the microphones. Mm. Every time they talk about it on a podcast, they say, you know, manifestation is a thought.
Yeah.
And every thought becomes a reality. Like the microphone, for instance. This never existed until someone thought about it.
Yeah, everything begins with a thought.
Everything, thought. You know.
So true.
And, you know, I was listening to another one yesterday, I think it was Chris Williamson as well, and they were talking about, you know, all the parts and pieces that we need to build something better is here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, Henry Ford didn't invent the wheel.
Mm.
He didn't invent the engine, but he invented the car.
Car, yeah.
He put the things together. You know, so everyone can take bits and pieces out of here and there. And
so true. Yeah. It's crazy. Do you think from you saying your anxiety and projecting into the future, do you think working on your self-worth has helped you ground you into the present moment and not worry and just the self-belief, all this?
Yeah, but that's a pretty scary journey for some people too.
Mm-hmm.
Or
yeah.
You know, to accept who you are and say, all right, this is me and who, but then you've got the chance to be who you want to be as well.
Mm-hmm.
You can still, you know, nothing's written.
Mm.
So that's why you live every moment as it is. And even every bad situation, you need to take the positive out of that bad situation because every negative has a positive. like I explained to Ashley, the kids at the moment driving us, you know,
yeah,
they're crazy at the moment. School's back and, you know, Macy's only 2.5 and they get sick and all this kind of stuff. And it does. It really gets to you at some stages. Mm. But that's how you learn patience.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you learn tolerance.
Mm.
That's, you know.
So true. I just want to go back to the non-drinking
element. Yeah, let's get back to that.
Yeah, no, because I just thought then, has there been a stage where you've been like tempted to buy a drink or grab a drink?
Great one.
No.
Never.
Not at all.
That's good.
Yeah. And I said that to Ash the other day as well. I said, it hasn't even crossed my mind.
Wow.
I need to have a drink.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Not even like, obviously me being pregnant can't drink. Like sometimes I'll see people with like a margarita and I actually generally like margaritas. I'm like, oh, fuck, I really want a margarita. Mm.
Well, that's what we say about substituting. So there's the non-alcoholic ones.
True.
So Ash and I sometimes have those non-alcoholic margaritas or Cosmos. Started drinking coconut water. Oh,
that's good.
That's quite nice.
Fuck, Damien just started drinking coconut water too. He's like, this stuff's delicious.
The passion fruit one's really good.
Yeah, I've had that, yeah.
That's really good.
The chocolate one's good too, the ones.
Yeah.
There's a chocolate from Woolworths. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So you've not been tempted at all?
Not at all. No.
That's crazy. That's good.
Yeah. It's just, we'll go out to, like I said, weddings, engagement parties. I'll have a soda and lime.
Yeah.
And you try and say it clearly to the bartender so they don't put the vodka in.
Yeah. Or sometimes I'm like, can you just do the little glass with the soda and lime so it looks like I'm drinking?
Yeah.
Then I'm like, why? Like, so stupid. Why? For other people.
But no.
And what about Ash?
No, she's the same. Like, when we first started with it, like, she'd have a drink with a friend, mm-hmm. but that was quite a while ago now, and she hasn't had a drink now. Same thing for, it'd be months now. Maybe even half a year or something.
And do you think the non-drinking, I can't remember if you said this before, but do you think the non-drinking has brought you and Ash closer together as a relationship, like a couple?
Yeah. Is it the non-drinking? Maybe.
Or the get to know yourself or?
Maybe it's the non-drinking.
Yeah.
We spend a lot more time conversing with each other,
uh-huh.
I suppose. And you dig a little bit deeper, I suppose, which is good. I'd say it has. Yeah.
I think it's good that as a couple you're both kind of like you've obviously inspired Ash. I think it's like it's nice. Like, don't you think it's nice? Yeah.
To do things as a couple.
Yeah. Or just like have that support of someone because there'd be nothing worse than like just say you weren't drinking and Ash was drinking and she was going out every weekend and with the girlfriends, getting drunk, coming home. That would be a massive toll on you as
– Yeah, but I did say to her, I said, look, if at the very start, I said, if it's something that you want to do, if you want to – go out and drink, that's fine. It's up to you. It's your choice.
Yep.
But, you know, she got to learn, she'd be saying, you know, stop saying that. Why are you saying that?
Mm.
Like, you know. So then I listened to her and you stop saying it and it's what she wants to do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You're not forcing.
No.
It's cute.
I'm going to tell you some celebrities that are
sober
and tell your girls one of them.
Which one?
Chrissy Teigen.
Is she?
She's someone Chrissy who Teigen. Doesn't drink. Kyle Richards. Housewives.
Oh, yeah. I knew she's she didn't on
a year. Kim Kardashian didn't drink for many, many years, but now only drinks one or two. Lucy Hale, who was on.
Well, she had an addiction.
Yeah. Which is different. A lot of them probably did.
Mm.
Anne Hathaway, that we mentioned. Bella Hadid is a really interesting one because there's a really famous doctor, Dr. Amen,
mm-hmm.
Who, when we're talking about the alcohol being a neurotoxin, he actually is a brain doctor and dives into what actually happens to your brain and the neural plasticity when you even drink one alcohol. And then he goes on to say about Alzheimer's, all these other diseases that are contributed to drinking alcohol. And he said the healthiest brains that he sees in the world don't drink alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks after Kendall Jenner, Bella Hadid, Justin Bieber, Miley Cyrus, he looks after all their brains.
Mm-hmm.
But I really do think there is a movement happening. You were just mentioning you drink coconut as a substitute, and I was looking at stats last night, the non-alcoholic beverage department in Australia grew by 7% in 2022 and even more last year.
Yeah.
So I think there's something happening.
Yeah, it's quite like we obviously go to LA a lot and there's bars now open in LA that are sober bars.
Well, apparently there's one in Brunswick here as well. I went on a date the other night sober And he told me there's sober bars in Brunswick. And I
said, it'd be awkward. He's like, let's go to what's that wine bar? I was like, so have you told him you're not drinking?
Yeah. So I had a non-alcoholic like spritz thing,
which is fine. Yeah. It's fine. Well,
there's clearly a market for it.
Absolutely. You've got
All those alcoholic companies like Carlton Draft bring out Carlton Zero.
Of course.
Well, do you know the benefit in that happening also? We went to a vodka party one night, Tal and I, and I was sitting next to the marketing girl and we're talking about non-alcoholic beverages because I was sober curious. And she said there's such a market for it and that's why all the alcoholic beverages are doing it because they're not taxed because it's non-alcoholic. So they're charging the same price for alcoholic beverage. Sneaky. That's heavily taxed.
Yeah.
And compared to a non-alcoholic beverage, which has no tax. So the margins on non-alcoholic are even higher for these alcohol companies.
Uh-huh. Have you found with not drinking, replacing it with something else? Like, are you going to the gym more? Are you like meditating? Like, is there anything else
I got back into the gym probably about 2.5, 3 years ago now.
Yeah.
But it's definitely benefited me in the gym. I try to meditate when I can.
Yeah.
Every Sunday morning I try and do a little bit of breath work, a little bit of meditation, stuff like that, which is, had I been drinking the night before
and come home hungover,
wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, I was never much of a drinker throughout the week, day to day, or anything like that. But when events came around, birthdays, weddings, engagements, I never used to really hold back. But like I said, I'm still the same person. I still go out and have the same conversations. Still act the same stupid way.
Yeah.
So it's like you said, some of my friends come the end of the night, well, you can't drive home. How can you? I said, I haven't drunk.
Yeah. It's so funny, isn't it? It's like, it's crazy. And then you're like, well, they're obviously not being in the present moment because they're not aware that you're not drinking. So I'm like,
but then you
got
to realize they're not paying as much attention to you as what you thought they were.
Yeah, exactly. That's true too. Yeah, that's so true.
But we're all in our head, so we do think people are thinking more about us. But on the reflection back on that, wouldn't my friends telling me to drink, offering me drinks, aren't they
being supportive?
Not being supportive, but they are worrying about me not drinking.
Yeah, but like I said, that could be a reflection on them. Mm-hmm. So that makes them feel more comfortable if you are drinking with them. Like it gives them, that's their sense of comfort if you're doing what they're doing because you don't feel like an outsider. Yeah. Or they don't feel like an outsider.
If anyone listening is on this sober journey or is thinking about going on a sober journey, I'm going to ask both of you, do you have any advice if they were in a situation and their friends weren't being supportive? What would you do in that situation?
That would be tough. I think, how would you do it? You need to start not caring about what people think. And that's not just to do with this topic. It's to do with everything, really.
Mm-hmm. How do you not care what people think?
Well, that's another hard one.
Yeah, well, that's working on yourself.
Exactly. And that's why I said to you before, do you think all that confidence, inner confidence came from self-worth and knowing yourself? Because once you know yourself, you actually don't care what other people think.
Yeah, well, I read a book for the first time in ever and it was The Four Agreements. And one of the agreements was not to take things personally.
Yeah.
And that really resonated with me that, people's reactions aren't a reflection on you. It's a reflection on them.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, your friends might not be supportive of you doing whatever you're doing, but that's got nothing to do with you.
Mm.
That's got everything to do with them. So once you kind of get your head around that, then, if they're not supportive and they don't, they're portraying that on you, it gives a shit, really. Yeah.
Mm. That's an interesting answer because I was just thinking to myself, if I was on this journey and I had some friends that weren't very supportive, my immediate reaction would be like, cut them off. They're toxic to me.
Mm.
That would be my automatic reaction because I'm like, I don't have time for bad energy. But then I'm like, oh, but they're my best friends. So it's like, I think that's really good advice. Sarah, what would you do?
Well, I'm very lucky. I have a very supportive friend in you.
Yes.
That was nice.
No, of course. Why wouldn't I be supportive of something that your friend wants to do?
I think what's helped me is being really clear in the friends that aren't being supportive, uh-huh. as supportive in my why.
Yeah.
Like, why am I doing this? And it's not, I'm not doing it for the health benefits or anything. I'm doing it because I want to do something that I'm proud of. And not like a test or anything. It's just like the every week that I don't drink, I'm like, huh, I actually did what I was saying I was going to do and I didn't fall into temptation or I didn't fall into succumbing to my feelings of anger and stress and just reaching for a drink when we were out one night. I'm really proud of myself. So every week I get closer to my goal, I'm really, really proud of myself.
Yeah.
And I think that momentum and discipline within myself is really reinforcing my confidence with my own abilities to do what I say I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to realize you're only going to be in certain settings where your friends are going to be like that towards you anyway.
Mm.
Like it's only going to be in a social setting when you're out at a party, you're out at a club or you're out for a lunch, whatever.
Which is 5% of your week.
Yeah, well,
that's it, you know. Like if you're friends with them and you're walking around the tan at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday morning,
yeah,
they're not going to be, you know, well, here, have a drink.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, they shouldn't be, but.
No, you know, or they might question, but why? Like, because I know Sarah's had that, but why are you not drinking?
Yeah, but that could be them being curious.
Yeah,
well.
true. It's interesting. Yeah, it's funny.
Is there anything else about alcohol that this journey's taught you?
No, like I said, I had my relationship with alcohol, not that it was a bad one beforehand. Like it was fun. Like I had heaps of fun going out in my 20s, partying, clubs, doing all that kind of stuff. And I don't regret anything that I've done in the past.
It's just a new chapter, which I love that. Yeah.
The other thing with alcohol is probably your marriage, your relationships, probably your biggest fights are also contributed to some way back to alcohol.
Oh, for sure.
I think of when I grew up, I've got another reason why I don't drink much. I've spoken about this before. I've got a funny relationship with alcohol because the way my dad acted on alcohol, like he never had an addiction. Well, maybe he did have an addiction. I don't know. But he would just say some really nasty things when he was drunk. Mm. Like not nasty things, but like, oh, you don't love me. Like you know, just things that as a kid hurt me. Cause I was like, what the fuck? Of course I do. But
his personality changed when he drank.
And I hate how people's personality changes when they drink. And that's a reason why I'm not a massive drinker because he would wake up the next morning and forget everything he said.
Yeah.
And just be like, oh, good morning. Like everything's like rosy, completely forgot. And as a kid, I would sit there and be like, I felt hurt because I was like, oh my God, dad doesn't think I love him or maybe he thinks we use him for money. Like he used to say stupid shit. Yeah. And I'd be like, oh my God, it made me feel so shit. So that's why I have a funny relationship with alcohol because people's personalities generally change when they drink.
Mm. Well, there's the old story of the, you know, the two, say they're twin brothers or whatever.
Yeah.
Both growing up in the same family with an alcoholic father.
Yeah.
Mm.
These kids grow up and one of them becomes an alcoholic. And you say, oh, why are you an alcoholic? Mm. Oh, because of my upbringing. How could I not?
Yeah.
But then the other kid grows up, doesn't drink at all. And you say, and you ask them, how come you don't drink? Because my father's an alcoholic.
Mm.
How could I, you know?
It's pattern.
You know,
yeah.
Some people choose to follow the path. Some people choose to
resist it.
Completely.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. But yeah, then people's personalities do change. So it's interesting.
And coming from a woman's perspective and having so many friends that have mums, like I can understand why mums, when they go out, they have and parents in general, like you're saying, the kids are a lot. When you get your time away with them, you just want to blow off some steam.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've a lot of our friends have kids and stuff. And you will notice like when you go out, they will get so drunk.
Mm.
And then I often think, I'm like, fuck, I feel sorry for you tomorrow. Because exactly. You have to deal with the kids. Day, I'm like, you have to deal with the kids hungover. It's and generally they're out with their husband as well. So they're both getting like quite drunk.
Mm.
You have to deal with the kids. Like kids need attention and like love and you're not giving it to them. So it's the flow-on effect for your kids as well in the future is scary.
I think for people, going back to your question about what people should do, I've had a lot of girls ask me about how I went not drinking on my date.
Oh, really?
I think just do one event at a time. Mm-hmm. Go to a party without drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Test it out. See how you feel within yourself and why, like, did you feel insecure? Did you feel less confident because you weren't drinking?
However, going back to the girls feeling not confident or asked how you go on a date, I remember when you were like,
said you were going on a date. The one I just said, tell him the truth.
Mm.
And say that's what you're not drinking because I'm trying to do this challenge myself. I don't feel good when I drink. Just tell them the truth. If I've been on, I don't know why, when I used to date, I went on this pattern of I used to date non-drinkers.
Mm.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And it was a lot of them, I think it was like 3 or 4, a lot of them had an addiction and then were going to AA and stuff like that. And I had this pattern of always choosing guys that was completely sober. And initially I was like, fuck, this is going to be so awkward going on the first date because I want them to drink. So they open up and it's more relaxing.
Mm.
And then once I went on one date, I was like, oh, this is actually fine. Like it's like a coffee date, but they don't need to drink alcohol. I also don't need to drink alcohol, or I can have one glass not feeling that they're going to judge me either.
Yeah.
So I think if anyone's listening, I think just be honest with whoever you're going on a date with. I'm not drinking.
Yeah. And like Sarah said, it starts with one event at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to say that it is going to be easy.
Mm.
You might feel uncomfortable at that
event. Yeah, absolutely.
And it might make you feel uncomfortable for the whole entire night.
Mm-hmm.
But then you wake up the next day and you like the feeling of how you feel when you wake up that next day. And then you reflect back on it throughout the week and think, well, you know, did I really need to drink at that function? So then the next function rolls around and then you make the choice. You think, do I want to feel like that again, or do I want to revert back to how I was?
But even to the fact, even if you weren't confident at that event, you can be like, okay, in the reflection, what can I do at the next event that would make me feel more confident?
That all takes practice.
100%, and it does take time.
Mm-hmm.
But going back, Mark, you said that we would be surprised how many guys are like you. And from talking to you and how your mates have interacted, I think you're giving guys a lot of credit because, they might be curious, but you're doing the actions. You're doing the work. You're actively working on yourself day in, day out. You're meditating. You're asking yourself questions. You're curious and you're putting action behind the curiosity.
And that's one thing that I've learned as well. Don't project to people what you're going to do.
Because
once you say what you're going to do, you never do
it.
Actions speak louder than words. So instead of telling everyone, I'm going to do this, I'm going to stop drinking, I'm going to start it, just do it.
Yeah.
Why tell them?
That's so true. So true. That's kind of like our little rule.
It is, but you're also letting yourself down, saying you're going to do something and then not doing it. Yeah. Whether you're aware of it or not, everything's energy, like we're saying. So if you say to yourself, okay, I'm going to start my diet on Monday and you don't start your diet on Monday, subconsciously you're already telling your body, oh, so you can't even stick to it. Mm. You're a failure. You can't even do it one day.
Mm.
Whether you're aware of it or not, words have energy and power as well.
Yeah.
And that's like my little juju thing, but it does. And that's what I'm saying with me. I feel like in a frequency level, I'm really lifting up my frequency and my vibrations because I've said I'm doing something and I'm traditionally one of those people. I say I'm going to do something and a lot of the time I don't end up doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of those times that I'm like, no, I'm going to say I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do.
Yeah.
It's like what they say about manifestation. Your brain and your body can't tell the difference between a thought and reality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you say to yourself in your head that you have done this, you know, then
your body believes
you'll start to believe
it. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you keep saying, I'm going to,
you know,
you're always going to be in a state of I'm going to.
Yeah.
You never will.
Yeah.
Because you're always going to.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's so true. Yeah.
Do you think obviously the curiosity is dipping your toes in first for guys? That's stage one.
It could be. For some people, it could be a Britney moment. It could be, you know, something major might happen to them and they think, fuck, you know, I've got to reflect on myself and really, you know, pull back on this.
Mm.
But, I think for some people, definitely curiosity, like it might start with me, you know, and then one of my mates starts doing it and then, you know, other people have other circles of friends or whatever and it, you know, dissipates out and more people get involved or whatever. But, you know, like I keep saying and I've repeated a few times, I'm not trying to push this on anyone.
But
everyone can do what they want to do. So
in your own way, and this is what leadership is in a way, you're walking to the beat of your own drum.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you know it or not, your mates might be drinking less because they see how well you're.
I've had a few already come up to me.
Yeah.
And we've been at social situations, you know, my best mates who I've lived that party life with. And a couple of them, you know, have not drunk at that social event as well.
Wow. Mm.
Just for the fact that, you know, they've seen that mm-hmm. someone else can do it.
Mm. Yeah. So there has to be someone that starts it.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I'm very proud of you.
Yeah, thanks. You should be proud of yourself. Yeah.
For the transformation that I've seen in you, and like you said, it's just different chapters, but I think now that you're like, I know our conversations as brother and sister, we have really amazing conversations and deep conversations.
You get deep.
And there's just a different level of connection with you, but then I see that within your wife as well and with your kids. You're a lot more patient with the kids.
Yeah.
Like the way you parent them is really beautiful. It's just a really nice ripple effect.
Yeah.
Everything does. Everything flows on.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you get all the health benefits, which, you know, the mental clarity, the physical fitness, everything like that. So really, what's the downside of not taking it?
Which I think a lot of that too is long-term effects, which you're probably not seeing now.
That's
true, but they're going to be the long-term effects.
Who knows?
Which is amazing.
And what you were just describing is basically our Tally Lou motto, when you feel good,
you look good.
It's true.
Don't have to get Botox, don't have to get anything.
Don't say that. I got it last night.
Oh, I need it so bad. Anyway, Mark, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Tally. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Mark.
It's made me more curious, like just not that I'm not at like drinking, but just I love hearing about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for all your friends and strangers that are listening, that are in relationships, what's probably one thing that they can do with their partner to deepen their relationship?
We're still talking about not drinking or
it's true because a lot of people will probably go to date night, have a bottle of wine.
Exactly.
What is something – and that may be
it's
the way
simple. The answer is simple.
What?
What is it?
Talk.
Yeah, okay. Like communicate.
Just communicate. And don't be afraid to say what's on your mind.
Yeah.
Because this person is – you know, it's your wife, it's your husband, your boyfriend, it's your partner, whatever. They're not going to judge you.
Yeah, so true.
You know, they want to have these conversations just as much as, you know, you want to. So,
communication's
massive, yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Look how wise you are. Go you, Marky.
Go me, huh?
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's us again. We're back.
It's Tully and Sarah. And if you don't know, we have an activewear brand called Tally Lou.
And we have Australia's favourite leggings, but not only do we have leggings, we've got hoodies, we've got outerwear.
We've got everything that you may need for an active lifestyle. So we want to give you guys an offer if you've never shopped at Tally Lou or if you've shopped at Tally Lou
and you just want $15 off your next order,
you need to take this offer
and it's TL Cherry, all caps, all one word, and pop that in at checkout and you will get $15 off.
So head to our website. It's www.tallyloo.com or head to our Instagram, stalk our page, use the code and let's get you all in some TL.
And welcome to the family.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.